Can I lean back or?
You can lean back, bro. Don't worry. Don't trip. Just don't get too much out of frame, man.
Remember that Lean Back song? Who was that?
I don't know, man.
But that, whenever that was, I remember. But there was that Lean Back song. Everybody's just all about it. Sorry, dude. I'm just.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're gonna need 3 hours.
If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 29 of Sir Kevin Says. Today, we are with Josh Ferrer. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. The literally, what, 20 minutes ago, the Dodgers just won the 2020 World Series. So we actually postponed this a couple of hours.
We did.
So that I can watch the game.
You know what?
You can watch the game too.
Yeah. Round of applause for the Dodgers and for the Lakers, champions of the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Ferrer is in the house. Super excited to have him here on the show. I'm going to read you guys a little bit about Josh. I told him, write me a little bit about who you are and what you do, and you guys are going to be amazed. So let's check it out. Yeah, Josh, is that cool?
Sure.
Josh Ferrer is a freelance musician based out of Southern California. His versatility as a musician has given him the privilege of sharing the stage with many wonderful artists and musicians from all walks of life. When Josh isn't working as a musician and trumpet player, he enjoys spending his time recording, mixing, photographing, running, mountain biking, and talking cars. I want to get to that at some point in this podcast. Josh's greatest accomplishment in 2020 is growing a mustache. Josh, what's up, man? Welcome to the show. How are you doing, bro?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited.
Thank you for being here, man, on the 2020 day of the Dodgers winning the World Series. Yeah. It is quite a year for sports in LA.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, two major teams.
I say for sure, like I know. I only watch the Dodgers.
So. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I don't really watch the Dodgers too much, but I do watch once the World Series comes around. And thankfully, finally, third time's a charm. So congrats to them.
But I think that you were into the Dodgers more this year because a couple days ago, King James posted on his Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, no. No,
your
sir.
Turn
no.
To the Dodgers.
No, sir. No, are you calling me a bandwagoner? No, not really.
Next question. Next question.
What have you been up to, man?
Do you want the honest answer or the...
Give me all you got.
Nothing.
I love that. Great. Cool. You know what? Cheers.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Yeah. COVID, thank you.
Let me drink my coffee. No. See, what have I been up to? I've actually been up to a lot of stuff and surprisingly not a lot of music. Mm. See, once COVID hit, I was practicing every day, and then maybe about 2 months later I kinda like stopped practicing as much, and then I was like, okay, what am I gonna do next? And then I just kinda started diving into more car stuff, more racing. Like I said, mountain biking, yeah. Running more, so just trying to stay in shape, mm-hmm. Physically and mentally, and yeah. So I've been kind of doing everything else but music.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got so you.
It's been kind of fun.
Yeah.
I've been taking advantage of this time of essentially the low pressure of having to be a musician and just do other things that I've been putting on hold for 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
So it's actually been kind of, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm super excited about
yeah,
just what I've been doing.
Yeah. I remember a couple months ago, You told me you wanted to, I think it was start a YouTube channel about cars or some type of like social media page.
Yeah. So funny enough, I actually did start an Instagram page for car stuff back at the beginning of the summer, which nobody knows about, which I kind of like it that way.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what I do. Nobody knows, like, you know, so I started at for those of you that don't know, which is a lot of you, I'm super into German cars. Mm. And so I was like, I'm going to start a Volkswagen page because nice. That's what I drive.
Yeah.
And so I started a Volkswagen page, started posting stuff that I've done to my car, rides that I go on and just little, you know, things here and there. It's been super low. I'm not trying to gain a million followers. It's just something that I've been doing for the heck of it. But going back to the YouTube channel thing, I've had this idea for like maybe 3-4 years.
That's right, yeah.
And I never did anything. And I did start to gain some traction on it at the beginning of COVID. I bought some gear and started recording some stuff to post. I haven't posted anything yet, but I do have stuff recorded. The idea was, as a musician, I wanted to start something like on the side of like car related, but tie both of them together. Mm. So I was like, you know, what if I create some sort of venue where I can interview my friends that have toured with the biggest names that you can think of, who are also into cars, you know, you know, like, hey, like, let me, you know, I don't know, let me change your brakes, you know, and then you talk about what life was like on the road with Justin Timberlake,
nice.
You know, like things like that, you know, like, because in a normal world, you probably wouldn't care about me posting videos of me changing your brakes, but
because
you know, but if we had some, you know, some decent conversation like that, like what life is like in those situations, then it just kind of, you know, it ends up being more fun.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, cool. What if I split it into segments? I was like, I'll do a segment on like, you know, what's life like on the road? Mm-hmm. Then do maybe like a Volkswagen section where like it's me and my Volkswagen nerd friends, you know, we talk nothing but Volkswagen. And then I figured I'd maybe do like a section of car maintenance for musicians. Mm. Because I'll look at the camera when I say this, musicians are terrible with car maintenance. Musicians neglect their vehicles.
Yeah.
And we as musicians need that.
That's like, probably one of the most important things,
especially living here in Southern California.
Yeah.
You need a good functioning vehicle that you take care of. And for whatever reason, musicians, I mean, a lot of people in the world, but specifically musicians, because I'm around them all the time.
Yeah.
They forget.
Yeah.
You know, like I was on a gig last year and one of my friends called me and he's like, hey man, I'm like a mile away. Can you come pick me up? And I was like, why, what happened? He's like, my car broke down. I was like, okay, like what's wrong with your car? He's like, I think it doesn't have oil. And I was like, what? You know, but we laugh because it's funny. It's ridiculous, but it's like, we should, on top of maintaining our chops and our musicianship, we should also be maintaining the thing that gets us to those gigs.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, hey, I'll give you, you know, even if it's as simple as like, hey, you know, change your oil, change your brakes, the things that wear and tear every day, you know, like this thing's going to last you a long time if you take care of it.
Right.
But, you know, like people wonder why their cars don't last them a long time is because they don't take care of it.
Yeah.
And so I want to see my friends, you know, have cars that last, you know, so that they
That's
can
cool.
make things.
That's
you know?
Great.
So like, I was like, what if I start this? And I did start, I just haven't, I'd like to, I don't know. I'm the type of person where I like to have enough content for a while.
Got it.
So I'm just kind of, working through that content, but, nobody steal my idea.
Do you have a name for it?
I don't yet, but, this is just an idea and nobody take my idea, okay?
Nobody's going to take your idea. I guarantee.
So I love The Office.
Okay.
Very much.
All right. Who's your favorite character?
That's hard, but I think Michael Scott is
Michael
probably,
Scott, okay. Fair enough.
Him or Stanley? Stanley's like just a solid character.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about calling it Dunder Mufflers.
Oh.
I've been checking. Nobody has taken it.
No copyright infringement?
No copyright yet. And I figured it's mufflers, car related. Also, people that watch The Office would know that that's
great.
So I was like, what if I do that? But if not, then I was just going to call it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Car Talk with Josh.
I think it's Jerry Seinfeld. Doesn't he have a show called Comedians with Cars or something like that?
Yeah. Comedians in Cars with Coffee or something like that? Or
I'm not sure.
It's something along the lines, but yes. So that's actually what inspired this.
Oh, that's great.
Was because I was watching his stuff and I was like, I can do something like this.
Yeah.
You know, and just hang out and just talk and, you know, people that essentially aren't famous, but work with famous people behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Okay. So we were talking about this before we came in here. We're trying to figure out how long we've known each other and where we met. We were thinking it might've been at church or could have been at some gig, but more than likely it was at church. You were probably running sound or.
Yeah.
Or what do you think?
I didn't bring my diary today, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
But like.
That means it didn't mean much to you.
It didn't.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me take a sip. I'm an honest person. It didn't. No. It was likely that we met at Reliance, which actually before sound, I didn't start doing sound there until about 2 years ago.
Right.
2.5 years ago. Prior to that, I was only attending. It was my home church because I was with the church when it started.
Yeah.
And so that was 10, 11 years ago now. And so whenever it was that you came in, I was just attending church.
Yeah.
And so that's how we met. And then, you know, then I started doing sound.
Yeah.
And then it all went downhill after that.
Thank you, Josh.
And I think what ended up happening was we met and then we found out that we were like actually good enough that we did gigs outside of church.
Right.
And then we're like, what?
Yeah. And corporate gigs. What? What's going on? You do weddings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you never got me on a gig and then I never forgave you for it.
Before the shutdown happened back in March, we were supposed to do that Disney gig we were playing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was in at a men's retreat in Big Bear with the Rock Church, with the group from the Rock Church in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And so I was only it was Thursday through Sunday. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to be here Thursday, Friday, and then leave super early Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And I'll make it down to Disney. And then I was like, all this stuff just happened.
Yeah. Within that week.
Yeah. And so that got canceled. So I ended up staying for the entire weekend.
Nice.
So that was kind of fun, but I was also like super bummed.
Yeah.
But
yeah, man.
That would have been the only time we ever gigged.
But what's that journey been like, man, where you go from having essentially a full schedule for the rest of the year, even into 2021, to kind of it all being not really a thing anymore?
It's been very interesting. Not only just seeing like the world unfold and how people are reacting, but also like just paying attention to myself and how I react to all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like as musicians, we're both freelance musicians and we have a lot of gigs. If one gig ends, we got five more on rotation. And so we're just always rotating out. So we're never stressed, you know, like, oh man, I lost $1,000 this month, but it's okay. Like, you know, we're rotating things around.
Right.
And so that's just what it's been as a freelance musician, you know? And so I remember when COVID first hit, I was like, oh man, like Disney shut down, you know, like I don't have gigs there now. You know, I'm like, that's okay. Cool. Like I got plenty of other stuff to hold me together, you know, for the next month, cause it's only going to last a month. And that'll be fine. And then slowly within that, like week after that, it's just like maybe like 10 emails. You know, and then the following weeks was just another 10.
Yeah.
And it was just all these emails. And then it took me about a month before it finally hit where I was like, this is going to be longer than a month.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like everything just got canceled. You know, it's funny because I was talking to my mom when this first happened. I was like, so far, this is how much money I've lost. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, like it's a lot of money. I wasn't stressed. I was just like, I didn't know what to do because I was like, we planned for one gig being gone, not all of them being gone.
Yeah.
You know, so in that moment, I wasn't stressed too much because I knew that it wasn't just me. So it wasn't like I felt alone. I was like, hey, like it's happening to everybody, which is unfortunate, but I didn't feel like a lone wolf in this entire thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I have money saved up. You know, I'll figure it out. I'll wait it out and I'll figure it out and see what happens. And then, you know, 2-3 months go by and I'm like, okay. maybe I should quit music and yeah. get a real job, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, so yeah. like those things started to run through my mind, you know, and then that's when, I was like, okay, like what I need to make a living. And right now it's not going to be music, and it's not going to be this year or next year. And it's probably going to take a few years, like realistically now.
Yeah.
Before things finally settle and I can say, hey, I'm again a full-time only playing musician.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I'm still there, you know, so I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen. It's the first time in my professional career as a musician where I'm very proactive with, like, I have a gig down, cool, I'll fill it right away with something else.
Yeah.
I've always been super proactive. I've always, like, gotten something. I've always been very blessed with those opportunities, and I'm always finding something, and I've somehow every year I've managed to make more money, you know, and be just that more, you know, into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time in my professional career where I just kind of, like, sat and just, like, let time go by. You know, like I said, the first 2 months of COVID, I practiced every day because I was like, great, I'm not gigging. I have no pressure. I can just practice and be a monster musician by the time this thing is over. And I was, like, I was very disciplined about it. Like, when I'm in a routine, I'm, like, super disciplined about it.
Sure,
but
sure.
Then it was, like, about the third month, and then I was like, man, like, you know, I'm getting better, but I have no gigs, you know, like, what's happening?
Right.
And then, funny enough, this summer, actually, I went 8, almost 9 weeks without even touching the horn.
Oh, man.
Like, it was in the case, like, collecting dust.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which... I've never taken it. The only time I ever take time off is every year right after New Year's. I take about 6-7 days off because I take a road trip and I don't really play. Like, I'll noodle. So I'm still kind of playing, but I don't really practice. I don't really play for anything. And so I do that every year, and it kind of resets me for the year. And then I don't take any days off. It's just,
yeah,
you know, hammering it out.
Yep. Yep.
Until the next vacation.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I didn't touch it at all,
man.
Like, it was just, they just stayed in the case. Part of it was a lack of motivation, you know, like, I have no gigs, you know, like, why am I practicing, kind of thing. A lack of motivation. And then a part of it was also like, oh, maybe I might use this time to not play, reset my body so I can break old habits, which is something I've been trying to do for 10 years, honestly, you know, just my physical body when it comes to playing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what if I just, like, do other things? You know, so I was like, I'm just going to, I didn't feel bad for, usually I don't play for a day and I'm just, like, already crying because I'm like, I didn't play. Like, you know, the wrath of God is going to come down on me because I didn't play. It was like 9 weeks and I was like, I should probably play now. You know, like, I should probably do that thing that I've been doing with my life for the last 10, 15 years. But yeah, so to make a long story short, I'm still honestly in a phase of, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I miss working because I'm healthy. I'm fully able to work. I like working. I like working as a musician. I was enjoying everything I was doing, no matter how much of a hustle and how much of a work it was. And, you know, how many times, you know, sometimes I didn't know if I was going to have money to pay certain bills, but that was part of the beauty of it all that I enjoyed, and now I don't have that. So it's just been trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, you know, I've dived into racing in the last few months, where I race cars and carts, go-karts, both indoor and outdoor.
Nice.
Turns out I'm pretty good at it. No, this is being, I'm being dead serious.
That's cool. Yeah.
Turns out I'm pretty good at it, and now I'm competing.
like actual competing.
Competing.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And so there's some talks of a couple teams trying to get a hold of me, because apparently, so I've always enjoyed cars, motorsports.
Yeah.
You know, since I was a kid, and that was partly because of my dad. My dad's always been a car guy. And so I put it on hold once I started, you know, college, because I was like, oh, like, those are child's games, you know, like all this stuff. I can't be wasting my energy on that. And so I just went full musician mode. And so now I was like, you know, I'm going to start diving into this stuff. So I, one of my best friends had his birthday in July.
Okay.
And so we went out for dinner and he's like, hey, let's go to K1 Speed. And I was like, okay, what 35-year-old man wants to go to K1 Speed, you know, like, or 33, sorry. Sorry, Josh. Feeling, you know, it's like, what grown man wants to go to K1?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to go to K1. Anyway, we went, I paid for 3 races, and then I got super excited because I was like, I got on the leaderboard for the day. And I was like, hey, man, maybe I'm good enough. So then I went back like a week later by myself. And then turns out that I'm not that good compared to everybody else's time, but I'm competitive by nature in that sense.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. I wasn't trying to like prove a point to anybody. It was like, I can be quick. And so that day, there were some regulars there that are really good, that are racing teams that are in the automotive industry for a living. Mm. And they had seen me and they were like, hey man, like, you know, you're pretty good. Like, I don't say this very often. You're pretty good. You're consistent, but you don't know how to get a fast lap time. And I was like, I know, I've been struggling. And they're like, hey, like, we can help you out. I was like, all right, cool. By the next time, I had increased like a full second, which was already like people I spent years trying to do.
Wow.
And so I was just like, I'm just learning, you know, I'm just trying to get quicker.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
And so then they started inviting me to all of their hangs.
Yeah.
They started inviting me to their outdoor competitions. And they're like, hey, you know, thoughts on teams, you know, joining teams. And I was like, what in the world? Yeah. You know, it's funny because they're talking about a 2021 season already. And I'm like on the fence, not because I don't want to do it, because I'm like, okay, all of the events are on weekends. I have gigs. I might have gigs on weekends. So now like both worlds are colliding for me. But that's something else that I've been diving into in the last few months. Super random. I've spent a lot of money doing it too.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, this is the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If any time is the time, right now is that time. Yeah. That's good, man.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a really long answer.
No, that's great. I went there a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I didn't go to K1. I went to, there's a spot in Costa Mesa. You could do like mini golf, I think.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name
Boomers.
Of it. Boomers.
Boomers, yeah. It's not competitive by any means.
That place sucks.
But yeah.
Great mini golf, though.
Yeah, we went there. It was
sponsor us.
Yeah. It was my 4th anniversary with Sam.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I am Sam. How do you do it?
How do you do it?
Can you fill me in on your secrets? How to deal with this man?
She beat me at mini golf, which I'm still not over, but whatever.
Dear diary.
But no, we were trying to do that, and then they actually weren't allowing that because of COVID.
Of course, because that's how you spread COVID.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's awesome. That's great, man. Okay. So you've talked about all the stuff that you've been up to from the start of the pandemic, right? And one thing, man, that I know is the last couple of years that you and I have been friends, I've seen your journey in faith increase a lot. How does that play a part in everything that you do?
Yeah. And like you said, over the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot of times, you know, intimate times together and just talking through some pretty heavy stuff on both ends. And you've seen me kind of grow into where I'm at now. It's been, I would say, for lack of better words, it's just been fun in terms of faith for me, growing a relationship with God to kind of fully rely on Him to get through this crazy thing we call life.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had different moments, different key moments from different relationships with people that have opened up moments, you know, have opened up my eyes to certain things that I hadn't seen before. And for me, like, when I look back at it now, I was like, man, those are totally God moments. Like, those are moments God's speaking to me, and things that, one, I lack. And things that, like, I'm definitely, I can improve on. And so that's what my journey has been the last couple of years, is just like I wouldn't necessarily call them failures, because up front they might be failures, but it's more of like, hey, you know, God's at the door knocking, trying to teach me something right now. I need to be, one, patient and humble enough to just be willing to listen and to, you know, to actually act on it and do something about it. And so it's so funny that you mentioned faith, because right when COVID hit, you know, we lost all our gigs. And the only gig that I had at that time was on Sunday mornings at the church, you know, and it wasn't a ton of money, but it was the only gig that I had. And so everything, my income went to almost zero except for that gig.
Yeah.
And then what happened at the beginning of April, I decided to step down from the church. And so for me, that was a weird moment where I was like sitting in my room. I was like, all right, God, you're telling me to do this, but this is when I need it the most. Mm. You know, like if I do this, my income is going to be $0. I can't eat with $0.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, act on this faith and do it anyway. And it's just kind of crazy that moment has kind of carried me into now. And I see it starting to play into the future. Mm. And it's those moments where, like, if we just have faith and rely on God, like, it's going to get us through. And that doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to be easy, or it's just all of a sudden, you know, the flick of a switch, you're going to have all this stuff. You know, life has been harder since I made that decision, honestly. But I've gotten more rewards out of doing that, because I've learned so many other things because of that one decision.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my faith is exponentially grown, especially in the last 6 months. And it's not, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world, but it's just that one decision that I made has opened up different opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, and it's different experiences, different moments that have definitely opened up my eyes, that have allowed me to grow into the man that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's good, man. That's great.
And it's funny, because I say everything's funny. I just noticed that. I say it's funny. Since then, I've been, I was totally blessed with an opportunity to start mixing at Influence Church on Sundays in July. Mm. And I felt like it was a God moment. You know, I was given the opportunity, and they're like, hey, we know you're not working. You want to come, you know, just mix on a Sunday. I was like, sure. Not expecting anything. I was just like, I don't know anything about anything here, but sure. You know, like, I'll fail with you. I came early, studied what I needed to do, and I was like, cool, because I don't want to suck.
Yeah.
You know, did a great job on Sunday, you know, took some notes, and I was like, cool, you know, like, these are things that I can take with me. They're like, hey, you did a great job. You know, the guy's not going to be here next week. And you want to come next week? Sure. Yeah, I'll come by. And then now it's just been, hey, what's your schedule like? You know, like, we'll schedule on every week, you know, or every other week, you know. And so I've been doing that, and it's presented different opportunities for me.
Yeah.
So now I'm working on my mixing, you know, my front of house mixing, my actual studio mixing, you know, broadcast mixing, things that have, you know, been essential during this time. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a weird God moment for me where it was like 2-3 weeks ago, the church is working on a new album. And so they were in pre-production, and I was doing all the, running the sound for rehearsals and the sessions and stuff like that, which was super a God moment too, because it was super last minute. You know, I got a text the night before, hey, can you cover tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'm not doing anything. I'll be there. Same thing the next day. Hey, tomorrow. Sure, yeah, I'll be there. So I ended up spending 3 days there when I was, you know, and paid and everything. I was like, man, this is great. Like, you know, obviously I can use the money, but more opportunities to learn.
Yeah.
I met the producer of their album, who's like written and worked on like everybody's stuff, you know, from Bethel to Jesus Culture and like all these crazy artists. And so he was just like randomly talking to me and was like, yeah, we're going to probably add horns on this song. And I was like,
wait a minute.
I was like, hey, I play horns. And so he's like, what? you know, he looked at me because he's like, dude, you're just a mediocre sound guy, you know, like, and in my mind, I'm like, I know, but no, for real, this is what I do. Like, this is what I do for a living. And so, I somehow, you know, ended up talking him into this bad idea of letting me, write some stuff for him and the church. And they're like, cool, we'll give you a shot. So they ended up liking it. I work, you know, do hands-on with them and working with them directly. And now it's opened up several other doors and it's bringing me kind of full circle back to, you know, music again.
Yeah.
For me.
That's cool, man.
And the things that like I've always wanted to dive into.
Yeah.
Like I was telling them, I was like, I've backed up a lot of Christian artists live, but I've never really recorded with Christian artists. I'm like, man, this is like something I've been wanting to do for a while. I was like, I look back 6 months and I'm like, this one decision.
Yeah.
Has opened up these opportunities and, you know, I have no one to thank but God for these opportunities.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's good.
It's literally like those moments. I was like, that's a God moment.
Yeah.
Like there's no question about it.
Yeah.
I don't sit there and like question it. It's like, this is, I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah. Funny enough, for those that don't know, Michael Paquette was on the show, I think it was two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually talked about Influence Church, which I haven't had the opportunity to visit, but I have a bunch of friends that go there, including yourself, Chris Garcia, Michael Paquette. Actually, not a bunch of friends. It's only like two or three, including you. So that's awesome, man. That's great. I'm glad to hear that everything is kind of...
And Michael Paquette, if you're listening to this, I'm still trying to get him to go too.
Through text, bro. Through text. No, man, that's great. That's awesome. So in your own words, what would you say value means to you?
So going back to this faith thing in just the last couple of years, I would say, I mean, you could have asked me this question in the last 10, 15 years, and it would have been different every time. It would have been something materialistic. It would have been something. But in the last 2 years, and I think it's just going to kind of be it for the rest of my life, is things like value to me is honesty. And I don't mean like, oh, that guy was honest with me. Like, you know, he didn't say anything behind my back or anything. Although those are great qualities.
Yeah.
I meant honest with yourself. Like valuing honesty in yourself. And it was something that took me a long time to learn. And I'm still learning every day. But just to be honest with what my intentions were, to be honest with what my physical, emotional, mental, spiritual needs were. Because I had learned that I wasn't being honest with myself. And in turn, it never really fully allowed me to be honest with people. And so when I started diving into those things, it also allowed me to see those around me at that level too.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, I can tell when somebody's not being honest with themselves, you know, and I know this because I went through a long time where I wasn't honest with myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so it's been crucial for me because it's allowed me to place what I call pillars in my life of a few guys that I fully trust with my life. And you're one of those guys where I can call you up and you can be like, yo, dude, you're being dumb, you know, like, but like that has allowed me to put pillars in my life that, you know, that keep me accountable, which is another thing that I value honesty with yourself and accountability. Like we all need people. Like what kind of people do you surround yourself with?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and for me, those are the things that I take away with. Like, oh, I see a guy who is honest with himself. And by that very nature, you're going to surround yourself with people that keep you accountable, which is something that we unfortunately lack in this nation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, those are things that I value. So when I surround myself with people, those are the things that I also expect essentially of them too. You know, like those are things that I see.
Yeah.
You know, but it takes a long time, you know, and it takes, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, maybe failures with either relationship with people or just, you know, certain people holding you accountable to what, you know, what your true potential really is.
Yeah.
And so those are things like that I think that like as I get older, that's more of my life,
you know? Motto.
And, yeah. And to kind of take it a step further, on that same question, I guess I would, for me, you know, honesty, you know, and obviously accountability, but I call it the trifecta for myself. Maybe a couple of years ago, one of my best friends, Dave Brunel, guitar mm-hmm. player, he had a word for me, and it was integrity. And it was, I think this is when a lot of things in my life started to shift, you know, with this whole honesty, accountability, and integrity was just because what was I doing behind closed doors? You know, things like that. And so he gave me this word of integrity, and it completely like shifted my entire life. You know, I'm just like, you know, if I'm going to be honest with myself, I'm not living a life of integrity. Mm. You know, so those things for me tie into each other, and those are things that like, that's what value is to me.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, those kind of intense things.
No, they're great, man, but all the qualities and everything that you mentioned, I think are very important, especially for Christian musicians, if anything.
Any musician, but
true.
Yes.
But I'm saying those that are trying to walk right in their faith and live a life of integrity, which I think the Bible calls us to live anyway.
Yeah.
We know that we're not going to be perfect by any means, but we can try to achieve some type of semi-perfection or whatever you want to call it through accountability with friends. We have to have our time with God. I think devotionals are very important.
Yeah.
Being under some type of shepherd of some sort, obviously honoring our parents if they're, you know, great parents or not. I know a lot of people.
Minor great parents.
Shout out to Ray and Maria. Dude, okay, so where can people find you? This is all good stuff.
They can't find me.
Well, that's right. Where would you want them to find
me? By the way, everybody, I've been living under a rock for like forever. Friends, if you're watching this, I'm so sorry that I haven't responded or I've been under a rock. I don't post as much, but if you want to find me on Instagram, it's just Josh Ferrer Music.
Okay.
For those of you curious, I've never shared it, so this will be the first time I'm sharing it. For those of you curious about like my car, Instagram and racing, I don't share very often, so I have to remember. It's jdf.vw.
Okay, I'll put it down in the description anyway.
So it'll be for the, actually, that'll be kind of fun to see if anybody follows me. I know that they listen to this. Because I haven't shared it. And Twitter, I think it's just Josh Ferrer. Like I literally repost Office.
That's funny.
Memes and quotes.
Yeah.
And you can also check out my website, joshferrer.com.
Yeah. For any recording needs, I would say, or charts.
Inquiries.
Yeah.
Horn arranging.
Photography.
If you just want to look at headshots of me or lifestyle photos.
Yeah.
I just did a photo shoot. I haven't done a photo shoot in over a year, almost a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And so I hired one of my friends, Philippe, who's an awesome photographer. He was like, yeah, dude, I'm down. And I think it was just part of, back to my greatest accomplishment of 2020. We'll end it this way. My greatest accomplishment of 2020 was this mustache. Because this is the only thing I've done during COVID. So I was like, you know what? Like, I just hit 30 in September.
Yeah.
I haven't grown a mustache because Disney won't allow me for my specific role.
Sure, sure.
So they won't allow me. So every time I have come in with a mustache, they're like, no. So I was like, I have to document this. So I was like, I went and did a photo shoot with the mustache.
There you go.
And I was like, how long this will last? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, I'll update my website with photos of me and a mustache, and that'll, you know, I'll be 50 years old
there
and
you
be
go,
like,
man.
Hey, at one point I had a mustache and it was great.
The best time of your life.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Literally. Man. Thank you, Josh, for coming out to episode 29 of Sir Kevin Says. Thank you, man. A lot of great stuff that you shared tonight. I think a lot of people will find a lot of value in what you shared and hopefully are encouraged by it. You know, this is a journey that we're all on as musicians, as people. It's not easy for anybody going through this whole pandemic situation, but thank you for sharing everything you have. Truly appreciate you, man. Much love. And thank you for coming on episode 29 of Sir Kevin Says. And now, dude, I can't even. Check out next week's episode. Peace.